You're listening to a recording from the Roger Smith Hotel in anticipation of the upcoming Roger Smith Hotel Cookbook Conference taking place February 7th through 9th, 2013.
I'm Andy Smith, one of the organizers for the Roger Smith Cookbook Conference scheduled for February 7th through 9th here at the hotel. I'm delighted to have as my co-host Katie Kiefer. Katie?
Thank you, Andy. That's right. I'm Katie Kiefer from the Heritage Radio Network, where I run a show called Straight No Chaser on Sunday afternoons. And we're in the studio here at the Roger Smith Hotel on Lexington Avenue, right at street level.
With the cars and the people going by, we can wave to them.
Garbage trucks. With the wonderful Jackie Gordon. Jackie is a food blogger and publisher, and she is running a panel for us called Crafting a Productive Partnership. So tell us a little bit about how partnerships between publishers and bloggers work and what you're going to be talking about.
Well, we're going to be talking about ways that bloggers, authors, people who are trying to get their books promoted can work with brands and other kind of affiliates in order to get the word out, you know, how to make those, forge those relationships, how to work on sponsorships, how to do events together, how to do mutually beneficial.
Let's see, what time is that panel going to be at?
I know. I'm just thinking to myself,
I need to show up there.
Need to do
it's
this.
Very yes. important for you both to be there.
Yeah, we were hoping you'd invite us.
Well, Jackie, good. You have an amazing CV. I mean, I'm just reading this. You are an award-winning singing chef. Tell us about what that is.
Yeah, what's the singing
about?
Stuff?
And
come
are you
going
to sing for us today?
I could sing a little something. I've got a great new tune called Bacon Makes Everything Better.
It does.
I like
that. Oh, my God.
That's
we got to hear
very,
that.
Very, very good.
Can you do acapella?
No, we can't do it because it's for the panel.
It's for the panel.
We're
okay,
waiting for
okay.
the. We want to have her
teaser,
debut.
All right.
The debut is at the panel, right?
Okay. Does that mean I'm actually going to be singing "Bacon Makes Everything Better"? Possibly. That could be another draw.
For two hours. That's not bad.
For 2 hours at a panel
with no.
Well, I have other songs. I sing about chicken and cheese and chocolate and singing naked stuff like that.
And you write those songs yourself?
Yeah.
Obviously.
Yeah. Right.
Who else writes chicken songs?
Not a lot of people.
Purdue does, I think.
They would like to have Jackie's song, but she won't give it to them.
I will not.
An evil empire.
Exactly.
And
no
Jackie,
evil.
Jackie, you're working on a new show called Choco Cabaret?
It's called Choco Cabaret.
Choco Cabaret.
Jazz
sorry.
Hands. You have to put the jazz hands up when you say it.
Before you get to this Choco Cabaret stuff, I want to know what the diva that ate New York is all about. Who is this diva and why would they want to eat New York?
Well, doesn't it sound like a B movie?
It
the diva
good.
That ate New York.
It sounds good.
It sounds like Debbie Does Dallas, but never mind.
We will not get into that.
I didn't want to really say
I don't
that
mind that either because, sex sells too.
She was hoping you'd mention that.
I sold a lot of copies.
The Diva That Ate New York was a show I wanted to do when I first came back from being a singing chef in Australia. Even though I'm from here, I was there when I created my first singing chef show, The Fried Chicken Theory, according to Jackie Gordon. And
I love that.
When I came back, I wanted to do a show called The Diva That Ate New York, which was going to be about the history of New York dining.
Are we talking Broadway here? Is that
no?
Is that
I do
small
live
groups?
Shows where I talk about food and I sing about food and I make jokes about food and people eat food while I'm talking about it.
I mean, food's something funny.
Food is hysterical.
All right.
Food is hysterical. It makes people happy.
Yes.
It's kind of like sex. Maybe sex is not so funny.
Do we want to get into that
I
or
like
not?
To think
I don't know. I think a fun side too. We'll stress that for this public radio program.
Yes. Well, it is for the public, and they like food. So yeah. So the Diva That Ate New York was an idea I had for a show that I never did. And when I came up to the idea of creating a blog, I thought, the Diva That Ate New York. That's got to be the name of my blog. So that's how it kind of evolved. And funnily enough, I call myself New York's lamest food blogger, but that's another story. I do not, I tweet mostly about where I eat. I eat out and I cook all the time. So the Diva That Ate New York is actually more active on Twitter than she is on her own blog in terms of talking about places in New York, unless you're talking about in my kitchen, which mm-hmm. is in New York, so I guess it could be. But you know what I mean.
What do you like to cook?
What do I like to cook?
Don't you hate it when people ask
It's such a weird question. It's like,
Well, actually, I very specifically like to cook certain things. So I like cooking meat, and I like braising best. It's my favorite technique. So I am kind of specific about what I like to cook.
I have one thing that I don't like to cook.
Okay.
And that's Japanese food. Because I think that you should have...
Why do you cook Japanese
food? No, I don't. I don't usually cook Japanese food because I like to keep one cuisine that's like totally special that I don't have to... There's a lot of work in making Japanese food, which is why I don't cook it. So that's when I go out for, and everything else I cook. And
cool.
I go out for. But the Japanese is special because it's very intricate. And I don't need that kind of... I'm not that kind of cook. I'm more creative.
Me too.
I'm not
throw
like
it
precision
in.
Kind of
yes.
cooking. I like... styling plates and having things look pretty, but it's not that important. It has to taste good first.
Yeah, I'm with you there.
As I recall, you were one of the organizers behind the pie.
Yes.
The pie event. What was that?
I create events for food bloggers and food professionals to get together and eat each other's food here in New York with Ken Leung, and we do Pie Party Potluck Live. And Chinese New Year potluck.
And so last time you did this, how many pies showed up? I mean, it's...
We just did it in October at GE Monogram Kitchen, and we had... That time we had about 70 pies. 70 pies and their pie makers. And
having been once, I want you to know the pies were delicious. I had to sample them all, so I did gain 10 pounds.
Andy,
but
you do your best.
I did my job. It was an obligation when you're there, and you don't really want to go and say, I'm not going to eat that for any reason whatsoever. You need to sample it. And they were delicious.
No, that was my favorite event that I do, because it's just like a sea of pies, and you can eat all of them if you want to. And what could be better than that?
Nothing better than pie, especially for breakfast.
Actually. And savory pies and sweet pies.
Yes. Oh, cool.
Oh, both pies. Both. Yeah.
I love savory pies, actually. Mm. And there are just not enough of them out in the world. Not enough people are into the savory pie thing, in my opinion.
Well, I lived in Australia, so they love their meat pies.
So where were you in Australia?
In Melbourne.
Notice how she says Melbourne.
Melbourne might.
I saw it. I fell in love with Sydney. Right. Melbourne was smaller than Sydney, and it was, I'm sure, more intimate. If I had more time, I might have enjoyed it more.
If you live there, I think that Melbourne is a better place to live. Sydney is very flashy and pretty and stuff, but Melbourne is like a really great food city and really great living city.
Nice. Now, let's go back to your panel for just a second, because we're going to run out of time before we get to the bottom of this. So publishers and food bloggers, aren't they really kind of almost I almost want to say they're at odds with each other, because on a certain level, a lot of food bloggers are publishing recipes. I'm thinking of like Amanda Hesser and Food 52, where she publishes a lot of recipes. And yes, she did get a contract and sold the book for Food 52 recipes. Yes, she did. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, isn't there a certain sort of aren't you kind of giving away the online content and then
selling it?
And then selling it, and the publishers, don't they get mad that some of the content has already been published? I mean, how do you negotiate that gap in the marketplace, I guess it would be?
Interestingly enough, people are really lazy, and they would rather have books in their hands. People love books. I mean, you know, they want to have a physical book in their hand. They, even if all the recipes, I would imagine some big bloggers have a lot of the recipes on their site, they still want the book. We want the book that the person made. So I'm not sure what you mean in terms of, is that what you're talking about?
Well, no, not really. More like, you know, if a cookbook publisher wants to publish a certain collection of recipes, but they've already been on a blog, I guess that does answer you are answering that question with that. But I don't know why I'm feeling like there's some sort of conflict of interest there between giving away content and then a publisher making it into a book.
But, well, you're making the assumption that the recipes will remain up online after the book
I
is published, and
I'm
that may or may not be true.
Yeah.
And also that the recipes are exactly the same. My suspicions are that they're different.
Well, I mean, I think I know of like Smitten Kitchen. You know, she her book. Everybody wanted her book. I mean, her recipes are on her blog, and everybody wants her book. I mean, there isn't a difference.
Julia, I mean, she did Yeoman's.
I don't think there is a conflict. I think it's just there is more exposure.
Well, you know? With Julie and Julia, there was a lot of
that was
competition,
a different
story. And the fear was that here she was writing a lot of recipes that she was taking them from a published source, and I understand that the publisher was considering suing her for. Patent
for copyright infringement.
Yeah.
How interesting.
And in the end, they concluded that their sales would go up with the book, and indeed they did. And so, as soon as when the movie came out, then the book for the first time, Julia Child's book went to the first number one on the New York bestseller list. So, in the end, they looked at this and said it was a good connection anyway, even though that's not what they would have wanted.
And so, Jackie, what you do is help publishers understand how authors can promote the book.
Yeah, or help authors. I mean, you're talking both of them, you know.
And publishers.
Bloggers. I mean, people, how to promote is, you know, even accomplished, you know, writers like yourself.
I'm shocked.
Need to, you know, continue to think of ways to be creative and ways to work with publishers, ways to work with brands, ways to work with partners in order to promote what you're doing, whatever it is.
I think this is a wonderful topic and a wonderful panel that I look forward to listening to and being part of.
Oh, man, I think it's going to be mobbed. People are going to be, like, all over this one.
Come on down, I say.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is there standing room?
And you are going to do a little singing for us on the side, aren't you?
You know what? I am I'm a self-promoter.
I
was going to use a different word, but I will say self-promoter.
Thank you. Yeah, we were really getting down there, girl.
can't wait to see that tweet out on her.
I'm sorry. Yeah, right.
Well, I'm Andy Smith, one of the organizers for the Roger Smith Cookbook Conference, scheduled for February 7th through 9th. You can find out more about Jackie Gordon and about the panel and about the other 30 panels that will be at the conference website, which is www.cookbookconf.com, COOKBOOK.COM. I got that wrong. Let me try that again. Cookbookconf.com. COOKBOOKCONF.COM. I got it right, finally.
Way to go, baby.
It's tough. It's tough. That's all I can say. And you can register for the conference on the site. And there is a early bird registration that's for those who can get to the site before and register before January 15th.
That's right. And you'll see all of the other wonderful people who are going to be joining us on the various panels.
120 panels.
And we have some amazing talent. There is just no question about it.
Bravo. Even more than Jackie Gordon?
It would be hard to imagine that, but it's possible. But, you know, I mean, in various different forms, I think we've got some good people out there. Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
So
join us
February 7th through 9th. Thank you so much, Jackie.
Thank you. I'll see you at the Cookbook Conference.
Thanks for listening to this interview. Visit heritageradionetwork.org for the complete set of recordings from the Roger Smith Hotel.